We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church today. We are glad to have you, and we are excited about what God's doing in our body of believers. We're excited about personal growth and change that we're seeing. We're excited about people who are one-time visitors that become all-the-time members, and we're thankful that the Lord has chosen to let us work in this place. These last couple of weeks, we've been discussing dumb ways to die. Obviously, the one that they want to get across to you in all of the ad campaigns is trains. Trains are a dumb way to die. But the first dumb way that we went over was trusting the wrong people. The thief on the cross died next to Jesus. And he had Jesus right there, but still trusted the crowd over the Savior. One thief ends up in paradise that day. The other perishes. That's a dumb way to die. The next dumb way that we discussed in week two was not trusting the right people. This dumb way is clearly illustrated in the life of Judas. He walked with the Lord, and he was a disciple for goodness sakes. Yet, because Jesus wasn't the warrior king he was looking for, he was more of a peaceful king, he made mistakes that would leave him dead and hanging in a field. Those are some highly, highly conceptual sermons that have quite a lot to offer our body of believers. But today, I'm going to throw you a nice slow pitch down the middle. Disobeying God is a dumb way to die. Our understanding of obedience is a little bit confused, a little bit clouded. We think of disobedience as a simple mistake, an inconsequential action, but obedience is a big deal. It's a big deal. Not in every situation. I mean, if I woke up today and I said, hey, Jacqueline, my wife, I'm going to get you some coffee. And she says, no, don't give me coffee. And I disobeyed her and I went and I got her coffee. That could actually be sweet, right? That could be nice. That's not a big deal there, but obedience can be a life or death proposition. If my son is about to run out into the street and I yell, Ian, stop! Don't run in the street! He could very well get hit by a car. It's something I worry about quite a bit. And a simple act of disobedience could end in his demise. Obedience is important. This is a heavy proposition with a silly graphic, but it plays a big part in our lives. If you disobey many of the warning signs that you saw in the bumper video before I got up to speak today, you could die in terrible ways. Warning, contents flammable. Contents flammable. Given the materials and the circumstance, that could be a very explosive situation, and it would be no good. Nuclear radiation warning. Nuclear radiation can jack you up just by being in close proximity to it. Just by eating fish that were in close proximity to the Fukushima thing, we could get in trouble. Watch out for radiation. That's a scary one. Next, moose crossing. Moose crossing, that seems silly. There's kangaroo crossing on there. But if you hit a moose with your car, the average moose is between 12 and 1,500 pounds. That's my research for this sermon. 12 and 1,500 pounds. And if you hit that, your car is in trouble. And there is most likely going to be casualties because mooses don't play. You could be in trouble if you disobey things, and people die in disobedience every single day. And it's always been that way. What if I told you that some people died violently in the Bible just for lighting a fire? They lit a fire and they died violently. It's true. It's in Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. And it says, Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Whoa! Smoted. That's what that is. What happened there, you might say? That sounds insane. You can get destroyed for lighting incense? Well, this story requires a little bit of unpacking. The fire that Aaron's boys offered to the Lord was supposed to be the same fire that came from the chapter before, and that fire had come from the Lord. But the boys had let that fire go out and were trying to fix the situation and replace it. They didn't follow directions, most likely out of self-preservation, and offered what's called strange fire. The Lord is righteous, and he brought the real fire. He brought it right down out of heaven, and they were consumed. God is so mean, right? That's crazy. That's the kind of God that all my friends tell me I'm following, but I tell them it's not, but maybe it's right. Leviticus is a scary book. No. God is just. God is just, and I'm thankful for that. There were clear-cut instructions, and Aaron's boys didn't understand the importance of obedience. God provided that fire, and they thought they could just replace it on their own, and there are some things that we can't do on our own. They only come from God. And when God gives specific instruction, it's important that you follow it. Life and death important that you follow the Lord. God's so mean, right? Oh, no, God is just. You need to know that obedience is important. But obedience is also a choice. When we disobey, we are choosing not to obey. Okay? When we disobey, we are choosing not to obey. When we disobey God in the Christian faith, it's most commonly referred to as sin. When people sin, they are open to the consequences of that sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we look at this death and we realize that it is not simple physical death, but the spiritual death that comes from hell. When all of these things are considered, some people think, "Wow, God sounds or seems or is a jerk. There's a hell where God sends people for being bad through his mighty wrath. That doesn't sound very nice." Galatians 6:7 says, "A man reaps what he sows." Hell exists as an eternal place where people who don't want to be with God can go. All right? Hell exists as an eternal place where people who don't want to be with God can go. People who choose to ally themselves with Christ and accept his death and resurrection as payment for their sins, heaven. Those who are not interested in such things go to hell. Not because God is throwing them there, not because God is violently casting them down, but because of the fact that they choose to go with their disobedient actions. It's not God's problem that every good and perfect thing comes from above, like it says in James 1:17. And so therefore, hell is filled with everything else. The absence of God makes it terrible. It's not designed as a torture chamber. It's not some kind of frightening Dante's Inferno thing where they're like, "Oh, did you like to chew bubblegum? Well, now it's all in your hair." Right? It's not like that. God's wrath is the fact that he allows people to choose to go there, and it's also the best example of his justice. we look at this whole situation and we realize that free will can damn us, not God. Going to hell for eternity is a dumb way to die, and it's a dumb way to eternally exist. Disobedience is not about the action committed, it's the lack of obedience. Again, it's not about what you did to disobey, but instead about the fact that you disregarded obedience. No one accidentally disobeys. I was looking for a really great example to use for this, and I was just coming up on empty. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And then yesterday, my son stood up on our table next to our television. My son stands up on tables sometimes. He stood up on the table, and he put his foot on the entertainment center, and he was like, and I was like, Max, no, take your foot off the entertainment center. And he was like, oh, and then he sat down on the floor, on the table, and he started to inch his feet onto the entertainment center looking at me. Am I in trouble yet? And he just kept doing it over and over and over. So finally I was like, okay, I can't abide this anymore. I need to parent a little bit. And I stood up and I said, Max, no, if you do it again, I will spank you. And he looked at me and he said, because that's the sounds he makes. And he got back and he just went and he put his little foot over there. And I said, Max, you know what happens if you get up there, you get spanked. And he went and started messing with the TV. And I was like, all right, that's it. So I walked up and I spanked him. And he was like, and I was terrifying. And he's freaking out. And I put him down on the ground and I go, Daddy loves you. And I held him like this and I said, Daddy loves you, but you have to do what Daddy says. You cannot disobey. And he said, because that's, again, the sound he makes. And so I let go of him and he looks at me and he's like, oh, and he's just kind of looking around. And then he's like, walks right back over that table, looks at me, starts to climb back up. Because disobedience is a choice. My son chose to get on that table. He may have chose to get on that table 7 or 8 more times that night. I don't know, but I do know that they may have called CPS on me. But, and near the end, to be completely fair, at the end of the situation, I didn't even have to get up. I just look at him and go like this, and he'd be like, get away from the table. But he was choosing to disobey every single time. You see it in the face of a child. Our memory verse has been for the longest, and this is the last week we have it. It's Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have free will, right? We have free will, and we are saved by God's grace. We can choose to obey the Lord or to disobey him. We can choose life or death. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent from our wicked ways, we kill our old self and continually die to our sinful nature. We stop disobeying and start actively obeying. We place Christ as our ideal and try to be like him. We literally take those dead works, the ashes of our messed up human existence, and give it to Jesus in exchange for the beauty and joy of a life lived with him. We take our flesh and exchange it for the Spirit and all of the power that comes with that. We give him these terrible things of our own, and he gives us back the power to endure. And when you're deciding whether you're going to choose to obey or disobey, one fact that you might not think of is the fact that this choice doesn't just affect you, it affects everyone after you. It's important for us to make the decision to obey the Lord, not just because we're in church, but because of the fact that your lineage depends on it. Unlike the me culture that we have now all around us that suggests that it's all about you, your decision to obey affects you and everyone that follows you. The well-being and eternal salvation of everyone that comes after you is directly affected by your decision to right the ship and start living a life with Christ. Think about it. That might sound crazy, but little actions of disobedience make a big deal. First one, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the perfect man and woman in the Garden of Eden, indulged in disobedience and messed up everything, right? We aren't living in this messed up world because God hates us, but because our ancestors chose to disobey. Without that disobedient act, there would be no sin. So the ripple effect comes down to us. In the same way, people that grow up in physically abusive families are far more likely to have that detestable sin play out in their life. If you have drugs in your home, it's only a matter of time before your kids indulge themselves in them. If you're hard on your wife or emotionless with her, kids pick up on that and they think that that's the way that you treat women. That's true. That's real talk from pulpit here. That's a thing I see with youth kids all the time. I would suggest that rather than continuing these things in our lineage and giving these disobedient sins down the line, that we choose life today. Choose obedience today. Set your course straight. If you're a man in this room and you're hearing me talk about this and something pops into your head immediately, the Lord wants to change that for you today. Wants to change that in your life today. If you're a woman in this room and you're under the leadership of a man and you're hearing these things and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that kind of stuff's going on in my house, it's time for you to not stand for that anymore today. It's time for you to actively pray against negative things in your family. It's time for you to stand as a Christian woman because God values women. He always has, even when culture did not. And so it's time to stand up and not take that stuff. We're choosing life today. You don't want your lineage to pick up your disobedient habits. If you were going to be 100% real about it, no matter how bad you are at whatever you're doing, you don't even want to have your disobedient habits yourself. So why would you give them to anybody else? You just want them to be gone. And man, we're talking about that today. We're talking about choosing life. Don't die in a dumb way that dooms your family to repeat disobedient behaviors. There's somebody in the Bible we're going to talk about right now to illustrate this point that chose a very, very dumb way to die. One of the dumbest. And his name is Jonah. The character of Jonah is one of the most known commodities in the Bible. His story is told to little children everywhere who are delighted to hear about a great big fish and love a happy ending. We see God instructing Jonah to go to Nineveh. Then we see Jonah promptly going somewhere else on a boat, the storm coming, his life being threatened, being cast into the sea. Then we see him swallowed by a great fish or a whale. He prays, and the whale spits him up on the shore of where he was supposed to go anyway. This tightly packaged little story is so cute and fairy tale like that we can easily miss the significance of it. Jonah, this historical father of our faith, Jonah 100% disobeys God. Bald-faced disobeys God. He 100% disobeys God. In Jonah 1:3, God tells him to go to Nineveh, but he flees and heads towards Tarshish. God says, go, and Jonah says, no. When God tells us to go, we should never say no. Ever. It's very straightforward, and the fact that this story somehow ends up as a win for the Lord is just miraculous. Jonah disobeys the Lord, and through a series of events, he ends up swallowed by a great fish. He's on his way to being digested. His choice to disobey the Lord out of fear has earned him a dumb way to die. Ninevites were scary, okay? Jonah was nervous about going and talking to them, and the message that God gave Jonah to deliver to them was that they were doing it wrong and they would be killed. And so Jonah's like, wow, that's not going to win me many Ninevite friends. I am afraid to say this there, and I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'm going to run away and hide. But God had other plans. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the boat. He went down into the sea, down even farther to the bottom of the sea, and disobedience took him all the way down. This situation that he finds himself in is pitiful and desperate. But Jonah, in the belly of a fish, changes the course of his rapidly depleting lifespan by practicing obedience. We're going to read Jonah 2, 1 through 10. It's kind of long. Hang with me because I think it's all relevant and useful. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." He's praying like it's already happened. He's believing. "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Chapter 2 is a good chapter. It's the good part of the story. Because Jonah prays in the belly of a fish. Now, we think of like Pinocchio and such, where there's like a lot of stuff in the belly of the fish, and Jonah probably like found a wood-burning oven and it came up through the blowhole. Nah, like, it's way more scary than that. I mean, our guy was about to die. So, obedience, he finds this obedience in the belly of the whale. And he finds this obedience in a completely hopeless situation. And I have to ask, are you in a hopeless situation today? The way out of your hopeless situation is the same as it was for Jonah today. The way out is obedience. So here, Jonah lives, right? He has survived, and God presents his command to Jonah again. Chapter 3 starts with God reiterating, "Hey, Jonah, go to Nineveh." That's paraphrased, or maybe the message, I'm not sure. But he says, "Hey, go to Nineveh." And Jonah says, "Okay, I'm in." He goes forth to warn the Ninevites about the destruction that they are in danger of, and they all repent. The Bible says in Jonah 3 that God relents from destroying them when the people come into obedience and repentance. So by being obedient, the people are saved, and without the obedience of Jonah, they would have never known. So Jonah is obedient to God, and he goes and tells Nineveh that they're being disobedient. Then Nineveh turns around their disobedience, and the Lord relents from murdering them. Jonah's obedience affected his lifespan, but it also affected the entire city. It brought a city from a place where they were doomed to a place where they would have life and they would have obedience with the Lord. And our obedience can affect great numbers of people. His disobedience wouldn't just affect his life and leave him dead in a fish. His disobedience would have taken out Nineveh. So I ask you today, who's coming after you that might be affected by your disobedience? So, as we bring all this together, we think about you. Don't die dumb. Your destiny and your legacy, all of these great things hinge on your obedience. The great things that God has for you cannot come to fruition if you are not obedient. Jonah nearly lost his legacy as a hero of the Bible because of disobedience, and almost gained his legacy of being an adequate meal for a fish. His disobedience was born out of fear. He was scared of those Ninevites. And we can be like that sometimes, right? There are things in life that scare me. I hear words like fixed mortgage rate and I get a little nervous. There are things in life that scare us. Sometimes God's plans aren't telegraphed out to us. Sometimes his ways are a little bit more mysterious than we would like. And we can get afraid. But even though Jonah was afraid of the people were afraid of the fish. Because the little side note that you can get if you look through the history of the story is that God utilized the fact that the great fish commanded respect among the people to give Jonah his in. All Jonah had to do was obey. It was all lined up for him. I mean, he did get swallowed by a fish and spit up in disgusting guts. That's true. But he would not perish, and he would achieve greatness in his lifetime. He saved this enormous group of people through his obedience and through the power of the Lord. I'm telling you, you need to come into obedience with the Lord. Right where you sit right now, you need to come into obedience with the Lord. I need to come into obedience with the Lord. And I wrote this and said it. We need to come into obedience with the Lord. First thing he says is we should obey him and repent of our sins. And repent is a word that lots of people hear, but not everybody knows about. Repent is to turn 180 degrees. So if I'm right here and I'm looking at the sin of shoplifting, you may think, Pastor Scott, what? But that used to be something that was a real deal for me. You look at the sin of shoplifting, 180 degrees, repenting from that is to go like this. And then the way that we walk that out is we walk forward away from it. Because the Lord, he wants us to be separated from our sin. So that way we can be free to walk in this new life with him. It's greatness. If you've already done that, if you've already repented of your sin, then the next thing he asks us to do is obey him in baptism. If you want to get baptized, let us know. We got one in the back. I'll fill it with water for you. I'll come up early. It'll be good. Obey him in baptism and give your heart to him. Give him your life. Crucify the parts of you that are wrong and let his life fill you and make you right. Today is the day that you affect your lineage. Today is the day that you affect this city. Or Wiley or Allen or Garland or Irving or wherever you're from. Today is the day that you choose to do that. No matter how deep you are in the belly of the whale, no matter how much seaweed's all up on your head, no matter how much gross digestive fluids you feel like you're covered with and how filthy you feel, God can use you today. And all it takes is to change your heart from an attitude of disobedience to obedience. Let's obey the Lord together as we come into alliance with his will. The Lord has a great destiny for you. There's people in this church that I look at, and I see them living out God's destiny for their lives. I see people that do things that you would never have thought that they could do at the beginning. I see them endure things that you would think would have destroyed them. But I see God living and moving and breathing through us, and I see things changing. If you don't feel like that's you today, that's okay, because it can be. Come into obedience with the Lord today. The Lord has a great destiny for you. He has a great destiny for you, and we need to grab a hold of it as we come to this altar and pray. We do three things at Redemption Church. First one's everybody worships. Second one, receive the word of God. I just got done doing that. But now we come to the altar and we talk to God. We come down here and we take that physical step. We walk towards God. Not because of the fact that you're the biggest sinner in the house, you need to pray. If you are, that's great, because of the fact that you'll meet me and I am probably a little bit more than you. Good? Because all sin's equal, right? So come down to this altar and we'll pray together. We'll hash out our disobedience and we'll find God's obedience. We'll change our life and we'll be able to do something real, something important together.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.